Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow the Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whether the action is at the link or the bank, there's never an off day on Broad Street. It's the biggest news of the day, every day, with takes from someone who's never short on them. It's WIP Daily with Joe Giglio.
Welcome on in, WIP Daily, Joe Giglio with you. Appreciate everyone listening, subscribing, follow the podcast, YouTube feed, 94 WIP. Check it out there. Don't forget, YouTube is where you can catch all of the shows live on WIP, 6A to 6P, Monday through Friday. Watch them live there. Go back and catch up. Odyssey app, a radio, any way you want to listen, you can. All right, so I saw this morning the Dallas Cowboys traded for George Pickens from the Pittsburgh Steelers. And I want to just take a few minutes here to just wonder aloud and have the conversation on what are the Cowboys doing? Because you know, I think I have a good read on everybody else in the NFC East and really what their objective is this offseason. Clearly, the Eagles lost a lot of good players and are kind of in that mode of, yeah, we're trying to win again. And they're the favorite to win again because they're loaded. But they have their eye, I think the Eagles have their eye more on the 2026-27 run to really make sure they can win a Super Bowl in those years rather than just 2025. That's been my read the entire offseason. The Commanders are loading up for right now to protect their quarterback, get the most out of their quarterback, and win on his rookie deal. That's the Commanders. Obviously, with Tunsil and Deebo Samuel and what they did on the offensive side of the football, they're loading up for Jaden Daniels. The New York Giants are trying to finally reset and find an identity again. They drafted a quarterback in the first round. They got more competency at the quarterback position with Russell Wilson to hold the fort and Jameis Winston. And they added to what was already a strength, which was their defensive line with Abdul Carter. And then they drafted a kid out of Toledo. And they have Lawrence. And they have Burns. And they have Thibodeau. They have a lot up front. That's their identity. I get it. I get what they're doing. They should have got rid of the coach and the general manager. But at least there's a blueprint you could see. All right, I get it. I don't get what the Dallas Cowboys are doing. Now, before we get to the Pickens thing, let me say this. I thought they had a good draft. Booker's a really good guard. Now, I would have tried to trade down instead of taking him at 12, but he's going to be a good player for them on their offensive line. It's around the same area they drafted Zach Martin all those years ago. That worked out. The Cowboys usually hit on these first-round offensive linemen. Okay. I thought the Siobhan Revel pick was a really good one. I loved Donovan Ezeraka. He was one of my big board guys for the Eagles. So the Cowboys probably drafted well again, and these guys will probably be good football players. But the rest of the offseason has made very little sense in Dallas. They have very little sense of urgency to do anything. And now, today they go out there this morning, and they land George Pickens from the Pittsburgh Steelers. Now, if you remove everything but just the baseline facts, there's some smarts to this, I think, right? If you just tell me this is a productive, talented wide receiver who played in the SEC, produced in his first years in the NFL for the Pittsburgh Steelers, never had a great quarterback, whether it be Kenny Pickett or Mason Rudolph or last year Russell Wilson or Fields, he never had a big-time quarterback, and he still put up some numbers. He could win one-on-one. He could win the jump balls. He's playing for a contract that's in the last year of his deal. He's probably not a real number one, but he could be a number two next to CeeDee Lamb. Like, all those things kind of fit. In fact, when you look at the time they traded for him, which is the last year of his deal, there's motivation there. It you know, the Eagles have done a lot of this over the years. They trade for a player at the end of his rookie deal. Don't have to pay much. I mean, Pickens was not a very high pick. He was a second-round pick, so he's not going to cost them much this year. We know the Cowboys have cap issues all over the place. So, you know, it kind of makes some sense. But then you dig a little deeper and you go to the element of who George Pickens is, which is, again, all those things I said. But he's also very outspoken. He tends to be a guy that seems to, at least in my opinion, frustrate Mike Tomlin. The Steelers just traded for DK Metcalf, have not had a good enough offense the last couple of years, are trying to lure Aaron Rodgers. They dumped him, which tells you a lot that they didn't want to re-sign him. And the Steelers have dealt with a lot of personality wide receiver over the years and kept those guys around. I mean, Antonio Brown wasn't a pain in the neck all of a sudden at the end of his career. He was a pain in the neck probably from the beginning or the middle of his career, and they dealt with him because he was, for a while, a great football player. And it tells you something about George Pickens that the Steelers don't want to deal with him anymore. And you then throw in the fact that Pickens is on the last year of his deal, which, you know, on one end of the spectrum, you say, okay, he's going to play for a contract. He's going to play really hard. But on the other end of the spectrum, he now has to be a number two wide receiver without a contract on a team working in a head coach that's brand new, and I'll get to him in a second, a quarterback coming back from injury, and a quarterback who has a very clear pecking order. Dak Prescott throws to CeeDee Lamb. In 2023, it was the best connection in the sport. The only one I think comparable that year in terms of just pitch and catch was Goff to St. Brown. I mean, Goff to St. Brown was great. Jalen to AJ was great. But if you just wanted a throw and a catch over and over, it was Dak to CeeDee Lamb. That's why Dak was, you know, an MVP candidate that year. CeeDee was top of the charts in terms of catches. I mean, it was a dynamic duo. When Dak Prescott's healthy, which he expects to be, and the Cowboys expect him to be this year, he's going to throw to CeeDee Lamb. So as much as they needed a number two, and as much as there's some merit to it, it's like, is George Pickens going to be totally happy being the number two? Is George Pickens going to be totally happy some days watching CeeDee Lamb, some Sundays CeeDee Lamb gets, you know, 13, 14 targets, and George Pickens gets 5? I don't know. My guess is he will not be. George Pickens, in a weird way, fits in very well with the Cowboys because he's probably going to be a bigger name than production. He's probably going to cause a scene at some point. He's going to want money, and it's not going to work out the way they want. So, like, you kind of look at some of the Cowboys' moves this offseason, and you say, all right, in a vacuum, I get it. They're going to be better than they were last year because they were decimated by injury. They didn't have Dak the last 2.5 months of the season. But there's also the potential here for huge explosion in terms of personality, in terms of the holes on the roster, in terms of the money situation. They got to pay Parsons. They got to pay Pickens now if they want to keep him. They're like half loading up to go win and half not at the same time. Dak coming back off the injury. The Cowboys just feel so directionless, and this is because of Jerry Jones, because of the situation they have in their front office right now. If the Cowboys were smart, considering where the Eagles are at right now, considering where the Commanders are at right now, and considering the strength of the NFC. You know, I was doing NFC power rankings last week on the pod. You go back and find them in the feed. And here are teams off the top of my head, without even thinking, that I believe have a better team and likely a better playoff chance than the Cowboys. Eagles, Commanders, no question. Lions, Packers, Bears, Vikings, with the caveat of McCarthy being healthy and able to play. That's four. So two in the East, four in the North. Let's go to the South. Tampa Bay, better team than Dallas. That's seven. To go to the West, I would take right now over the Cowboys, the Rams, the Cardinals, and I think the Niners are similar, but I trust the infrastructure and the coach way more. So I put the Niners with an easy schedule. By the way, strength of schedule over at Sharp Football starting to come out. Niners, easiest strength of schedule in the NFL this year. Complete opposite of last year where they had the rest issues and the schedule. We'll do a lot of that coming up in the next couple weeks in the pod. But I would put the Niners over the Cowboys. So that's two in the East, two in their own division, four in the North, one in the South. I mean, someone's got to win the South. But that's seven. And then I'd put three in the NFC West, I'd like the Rams, I like the Cardinals, I like the Niners better than the Cowboys. That puts the Cowboys at the best, the 11th best team in the conference. And with that, the Giants aren't going to be as much of a pushover. They usually beat the Giants twice a year no matter what. So that's going to be, and they might split those two games. In the South, someone could pop that I'm not expecting. Maybe it's Carolina. Maybe it's Atlanta. But those teams right now behind Dallas. And I certainly think there's a path for Seattle to be decent the way they were last year, McDonald in year two. We'll see how quickly Milroe gets up to speed. I think they're going to use him in the red zone. So, like, the Cowboys are 11th, but they could be 13th pretty easily. They could be 13th pretty easily. And they're way closer to being 13th in their own conference than they are to being, you know, 5th in their own conference. You know, they're not that good. And they're certainly closer to being bad than they are good. So they're in a weird spot. I don't get the plan. I mean, this should have been the offseason where they rebuilt. It really should have been. And what kind of plays into all this is they have a roster right now where the trade for Pickett tells you they're trying to win. They're giving up future draft capital for a guy with no time left on his deal to have a number two wide receiver. They're trying to win with that trade. They're trying to win with the re-signing of Dak before last season. They're trying to win by obviously not entertaining real trade offers from Micah Parsons. Okay, that's their prerogative. I think they missed their mark. They missed their moment. They peaked in 2023. They had that run from 2020 to 2023 at McCarthy, and they peaked. Okay, it's over now. They moved on from McCarthy. But this was the kind of roster, if they were going to do this, if they were going to try, they should have done more in free agency. They should have added more when they had the chance to. They should have added more than just Jaden Blue, who I like at running back, to this mix. They also should have kept Mike McCarthy. If the objective was to win, Mike McCarthy, I know we laugh at him, he's a good coach. And he's been a productive and winning coach and a championship coach for a long time in the NFL. Instead, the Cowboys went out and what I believe was the least inspiring hire the NFL has had at the head coach spot in 15 years. I may have to go back further. I really want to go back one day and look at all the head coaches that have been hired in the NFL the last 25 years. I think Brian Schottenheimer could be the least inspiring one in a generation. It's not that he's a terrible football coach. Obviously, he's pedigreed. I mean, 15 years ago, Brian Schottenheimer kind of looked like he was on the path to becoming a head coach when he helped the Mark Sanchez Jets offense get to back-to-back title games. And maybe got the most out of Mark Sanchez. But his star fell so much over the last 15 years, I forgot he even was coaching. I mean, I really did. He went from being one of the more talked-about assistants to just there, just blending in. I mean, he got passed over by so many offensive minds over the past 15 years. I know he's got the background, the pedigree, a lifetime in coaching. His dad, obviously, Marty Schottenheimer. But in terms of 2025 football, Brian Schottenheimer is the least inspiring coach. I think there's zero upside here. I think there's so little chance that all these teams trying to win Super Bowls comb through all these assistants and have all these interviews. Some teams like the Eagles will interview, you know, when they hired Sirianni, it was like, the list was like 10 or 12 guys. I mean, it was Gerard Mayo, it was Ryan Day. I mean, they interviewed Luke Fickell. I believe Luke Fickell was in here for the Cincinnati coach. I mean, they'd interview anybody they could talk to about the job just to pick people's brains. And Brian Schottenheimer's name never came up. So there's teams that act like the Eagles where they will uncover every stone to try to find the next right coach for them. And Brian Schottenheimer's name never came up for any of these jobs for 15 years. He's the kind of coach you hire if you're trying to tank, not if you're trying to win. It was a joke of a hire, and I think it'll be panned throughout the season when every single week they go into a game and they are a coaching deficit. You know, McCarthy, you might point out flaws, and he might be goofy, but Mike McCarthy most weeks didn't give the Cowboys a coaching deficit. Now, whether he gave them an advantage most weeks, probably not, but he was more neutral in terms of game day and in terms of preparation and the offense. He was above average. That was him for a long time. It's why he won 60% of his games in the NFL. They strong-armed him. They wanted to lowball him, whatever they were doing. They wanted to keep him from the Bears. I don't know what they were doing with McCarthy. They should have just kept him. But the combination of a good draft, maybe not great value in the first round, but a good draft, trading for a player in his contract year who you know is kind of a hothead and is going to want his money and might be pouty when he's not getting his touches, having the least direction in the NFC East, having probably the 11th best roster in the NFC, and hiring the least inspiring the coaching hire in 15 years, at least in the NFL, what are the Cowboys doing? I mean, they look like they are poised to have a last place season in the division. I think there's a real chance they're in last place. Now, them and the Giants, I mean, the top two are clear. It's the Eagles and the Commanders, and that's going to be a battle to see if the Eagles could be the first team in decades to win this division in back-to-back years. But those two teams, I look at them as 11-12 win teams each, and it's a matter of tiebreakers, who wins head-to-head, who wins the division. It's going to be huge because the winner could be the one or two seed in the NFC, and the loser could be the five seed. So it's going to be a huge, or six seed. It's going to be a huge battle between those two. The Giants probably are going to jump up to the six-win range, even though their schedule is so hard. And Dallas, I mean, they're going to go into the season talking playoffs, but, I mean, how many games are they going to win? Seven? Seven, if they're in good shape, they're going to go 7-10. They're going to get beat by the Eagles. They're going to get beat by the Commanders. Dak will have some good weeks, but Dak's also getting up there in age, where it wouldn't shock you if he gets hurt again. It's a young roster in some spots. The coach is so at the bottom of the NFL, it's remarkable. What are the Cowboys doing? You know, you can make the case on paper they got better this morning with the George Pickens trade, but I just keep saying, what are they doing? They seem like they have no clue on where they are. And you know, it's amazing how the Eagles continue to just lap the competition in this division. The Giants have been rudderless for a decade, even though this is probably their best offseason in a while. The Cowboys are rudderless now, but they don't even have the talent they did a few years ago, or the coach they did a few years ago. The Commanders have gone from rudderless to on point, and now that's the real competition in the division. But the George Pickens deal, I mean, if it was anybody else, I'd say, oh, they got better. But George Pickens, really? And the Steelers needing offense, said goodbye? It tells you something. Appreciate everyone listening, subscribing, following the podcast YouTube feed, 94WIP. Check it out there.